Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
You know, Mother's Day is coming up, like in next week. You have been warned. And I don't know if we've notified yet, Joy will speak next week. And so on Mother's Day, if you've never heard her do a full message, you are in for something. Just bring Kleenex and come. Bring your own Kleenex. We'll sell you Kleenex at the door, but bring your own Kleenex. No, she's good. Speaking of mothers, there's a lady, true story, lady had, she had three little boys and a cat named Jack. Her little boy, one was four, one was three, one was one. And Jack, she said, was a really cool cat. He was just a real chill cat. Boys could pick him up and drag him around, sit on him, he didn't care. And her little boy, her middle child, was Eli. Eli loved chapstick, and he would take his mother's chapstick all the time, and she would lose it. And so she finally said, Eli, she said, honey, this is where the chapstick goes, and you can use the chapstick, but you got to put it back. And that seemed to solve it. Until Mother's Day morning, she is rushing around. She's upset because this is supposed to be the day that mother's honored, and she's breaking up fights between the four-year-old and the three-year-old, trying to feed the one-year-old. Finally gets the four-year-old, one-year-old in the car to go to church, and she can't find Eli. Goes back in the house looking for Eli. Eli is, she calls him finally. She goes up in the bathroom and Eli is very carefully applying chapstick to the rear end of Jack. And she looked at him and she went, what? And he looked her, she said, looked her right in the eye. He went, chapped. If you know cats, their little rear ends look like they are chapped. And so Eli was fixing that. She said, that didn't bother her as much, but the question that came to her mind was that the first time he'd done that with her chapstick? Oh, happy Mother's Day to you. This morning I wanted, we've been talking about Jesus. We talked about Jesus before the cross. We talked about Easter's Jesus at the cross and the resurrection. Last week we talked when Jesus appeared to his disciples and Thomas was not in the mix. And I want to talk one more time about Jesus appearing to the disciples and something that transpired there. And it's a message that I call living beyond the blessings. If you look at this world that God created, he was very intentional when he did it. I mean, I'm amazed at the people who do not believe that there was a master designer to our universe. I mean, the sun doesn't come up at 6:30 one day and then 9:30 the next day and then not at all. It's very consistent, very precise, and always has been. And he created us on purpose. And he created us intentionally. We were made, man is made in his image. But he made man, people, men, women, boys and girls. He meant them to be in relationship. In fact, one of his first comments about Adam was, it's not good for man to be alone. And so we were created for a relationship, and it's a relationship not based on duty or obligation. Really, relationships that are based on duty and obligation aren't really good relationships. When Joy and I got married 43 years ago, I didn't give her a list of her duties and responsibilities as a wife, and here's my responsibilities as a husband. Great, let's go. It was a sharing. It was learning, it was growing, it was a lot of trouble early on, but it got better. And that's how relationships are. But God also created us, and he'll use the word fellowship, that we were meant to be in fellowship, and not just in fellowship with one another, in fellowship with him. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church, he said, God is faithful. Through whom you were called, that word he called me, invited into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship, another word for that is partnership, Another word you see is communion. Interesting, Harvard did a study, a very famous study, where they took hundreds of graduates of Harvard University from 1939 to 1944, and they tracked them all the way through their lives, some of them up into their 90s. And what they wanted to find out was what decisions they made, who were the ones who were the happiest, who were the ones who thrived, who were the ones that didn't thrive. And at the end of his time, a psychiatrist, I think his name was George Valiant, he summed up his whole experience with, he said, "Happiness is love, full stop." And what he was saying was that the happiest of all these men that they tracked for all these years, the happiest were the ones who had relationships and family, relationships with their spouse, relationships and close friendships. And they said those were the happiest and the loneliest and the ones who dealt with the most dementia and the ones who dealt with the most problems and mental illness and all these things, depression, even physical illness, were the ones who got isolated and were alone. Now, we know this is one of the reasons that there's church. I appreciate church online, but I'll be very honest with you. If you can come, come, because there's something that's energizing about being together and seeing other believers together, and it will strengthen you. Now, I realize we have people that watch online, and they're way off places, and if you can't, but if you can, it will actually strengthen you to have fellowship. But what Harvard didn't track was, how about those of us who have fellowship or relationship with the Lord? And that's where the blessings really are. Now, Jesus, I'm going to read out of John. Jesus is appearing. This is the third time he appeared. Let's read what happened. He's risen from the dead. He's appearing to his disciples. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they all went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved. Now, by the way, that's John. John always refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. I don't believe John is being arrogant. I believe John is being smart. It'd be good before you go to bed tonight. Look in the mirror and go, "Good night, one who Jesus loves." Truth. Then the disciples said, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. Time out. If you read the King James, it said that Peter was naked. Now listen, when the King James says naked, it's talking about his outer garments. Not, he still has some clothes on. Ain't nobody fishing with somebody who's naked. They're like, put your clothes on. We are not going to fish with you naked. That is not. No. So it's outer garments. That's just too much information right here. Okay. He had stripped for work. He jumped into the water, puts his clothes on, jumps in the water. And the others stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, where they were only about 100 yards from the shore. I think John and Peter had a thing going, because John's going, "We're only about 100 yards from the shore, Peter, and we're pulling the net in." But when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he'd been raised from the dead. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, these guys should not have been fishing. They should have been evangelizing." They did not really know at this point why Jesus even died and was raised from the dead. They knew he was raised from the dead. They did not understand that he was the one that was to take the sins of the world. On the day of Pentecost, I think Peter figured it out. If you read his sermon in Acts chapter 2, he got it nailed down. The Holy Spirit helped him. But at this time, they don't know. They know Jesus is alive, and they know that they don't know what to do. So Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing." But you know, Jesus blessed them. He didn't punish them. He blessed them. And here they are out there fishing. And he says, throw the net on the other side. Now, other translations say they couldn't tell. Evidently, when Jesus was resurrected, he evidently has the ability to appear in a form where we can't recognize him. Say, I don't know how that works. Don't ask me how it works. I don't know. We will find out in heaven. It's not a doctrinal decision. We don't need to worry about it. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But maybe when we get to heaven, we can change form. I'm going to look like Ryan Gosling. I'm like, hey. But I digress. Anyway, he's talking to them, and they had to obey him. I mean, what do they have to lose? It's okay, throw it on the... So when they obeyed it, they threw it on the right side, and they couldn't even bring the fish in the net, and the net wasn't breaking, but there were so many fish there. Guys, I am so glad we have a God who's not chintzy, he's not cheap, he is not stingy. It didn't say they threw the net out and caught two skinny fish and one crab. They filled the net and they couldn't even drag it in. The net was so big. We got a good God. When he feeds people, there's leftovers. When he heals them, they are healed. He does good things. And he blessed them. So if they were doing the wrong thing, Jesus just blessed them. And then Peter reconnects with the Lord. Now, I've heard people say, if you've read that chapter, and all of us have read the chapter, because if you're at the Ark, everybody reads Bible 365. And we've read the chapter in John where after breakfast, Jesus and Peter walk. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Three times. And Peter replies, yes. And then Jesus gives him something to do. He assigns him something. And people say, well, he asked him three times because Peter denied him three times. I'm going to differ with that, and I'll tell you why. Because the scriptures say, Luke 24:34, 1 Corinthians 15:5, that Jesus actually appeared to Peter alone before he appeared to the other disciples. And I believe when he appeared to Peter alone, he restored Peter. And what he communicated to Peter was, you are forgiven for denying me, because Jesus knew that Peter had denied him out of fear. It's not that Peter didn't love the Lord. He loved the Lord. He got afraid. And he denied him out of fear. And Jesus forgave him. And after Jesus forgave him, he also restored him to tell Peter, you're still a disciple. It's still going to be okay. It's still going to be all right. You say, well, Alan, why would you say that? Because if you're still feeling guilty, if you're still feeling ashamed, you're not jumping out of that boat. You're staying in the boat. Now, those of us know when you've done something wrong, man, a lot of times people want to avoid God. They want to stay away from him. Actually, he's the one we need to run to. But Peter, if he had been feeling guilty and ashamed, he'd have waited until they got to shore. But Jesus had already restored him. And Peter knew that Jesus loved him and would receive him. So you see Peter respond. And Peter responded, and to Peter, the relationship was more valuable than all the fish. Peter was a fisherman. He knew that those 153 fish were valuable. You could sell that. You can make, that's how he made money. That's a big catch. That's a massive catch. You can make major money with that. He could have been in the boat going, look at this fish. Look at these fish. We got all these fish. We can make a lot of money off the fish. But that's not what Peter responded to. When he saw Jesus, he even forgot about the fish. He puts his clothes on. He dives into the water. And we see his heart for the Lord as how he responded. As I was looking at this, I thought, you know what this reminds me of? Have you ever seen any of those YouTube videos of soldiers who come home and like surprise their family members? And they're like at ball games and they go in their classrooms. And you see family members just throw decorum out the window. There's their son or there's their husband. And man, they just like run and jump in them. And I was going to show you some of those, but I realized those things make me cry. Every time I see them, I'm like, you'd be crying, I'd be crying. We'd have to shut the whole service down right here. But it's a response that when you love someone, you don't worry about what anyone's thinking. And that's what Peter was saying. I'm jumping in the water. I'm going to the one who loves me like nobody else. He just did it. He just jumped in and went. And Jesus received him. In fact, Peter even forgot about the fish. Jesus said, go bring some of the fish. Peter like, oh yeah, the fish. And he went and brought it in. Was the fish a blessing to him? Absolutely. But the relationship was the bigger blessing. The relationship with Jesus being restored, having a relationship, knowing that the Lord loved him and he loved the Lord. But what a difference that made. And so even with Jesus there, you see him, Jesus made breakfast. Now that's something. What a servant. Before he went to the cross, he washed their feet. When he goes to the cross, he dies for them. And now here he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, risen Savior, and he makes breakfast and serves them. What an example we have. This is how God's kingdom works. It's not in giving, it's in taking, it's in giving. So we see the relationship with Jesus. He feeds them, he talks to them. Relationship beyond the blessing. So how do we live beyond the blessing? Here's the first one. There are blessings with the Lord. Please do not get me wrong. There are blessings with the Lord. If you serve him, he will bless you. If you love him, he will bless you. Listen, the 23rd Psalm, you pretty much know this one. If I start, I bet you can finish it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. He leads me. He restores my soul. Do you realize what blessings though are? He helps, he provides for us, he leads us, he restores us, he leads us in right paths. Even when we're going through difficult times, he never leads us. Even though, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it just overflows. Surely. Bad times and misery, no. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Listen, guys, there's blessings there. There are blessings in serving the Lord. There are blessings in having a relationship with him. When you receive him, you get a place in the kingdom. You get to be part of the family. He'll give you his Holy Spirit. All these are good. These are blessings. Don't ever think, well, the Lord wants to be miserable. No, he wants to bless you. But here's another thing, too. A lot of the blessings are contingent upon obedience. You know, Proverbs 3, where it says, if you'll acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your paths. If you'll honor him with your substance and the first of all your increase, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. There's obedience. If you're wondering why the blessings haven't come your way, you have to ask yourself, have I obeyed him? Have I done what he said? Because he wants to bless me. If they had in the boat, if he'd said, hey, throw your net on the right side, they went, I don't know who this guy is. I'm not throwing my net on the right side. But they did. And when they obeyed, they saw the blessings. Years ago, 1989, Joy and I tried to start a church in my hometown. And it was a textbook case of how to miss God dramatically and still live to tell about it. It was horrible. My mother stopped coming after a month. I always tell people, when your mom won't come to your church that you're trying to plant, you're not in a good place. And we shut it down. I was in my hometown. We shut it down. I'd moved my family. And we're sitting there in a dark little apartment. My dad hired me. I was putting up mini blinds and cornices and draperies. I'm not good at it. He was kind to hire me. And so we were in just a rough place. And we got to be where money was not just tight, we were barely making it. Joy was counting bread slices to make lunch. That's where we were. I will never be convinced that poverty is a blessing. Poverty is not a blessing. It's a curse. You can't do anything. And we were just so strapped. And then our television broke down. And we couldn't even buy one. So we prayed more, which was probably good. And out of the blue, but a big surprise, Joy had a relative that died and left some land. And when the land sold, we got a check for $5,000. When it just showed up in the mail, we're like, oh, that's like the lottery. When you're sitting on zero, $5,000 is good. $5,000 is good now. I would not turn it down. Someone gave me $5,000. I would say, thank you very much. That's a good deal. But $5,000 then, it's like we won the lottery. I already had the money spent. I know y'all have never done that, but I had the money. I I had spent the money. In 1989, 1990, you could buy a decent vehicle for $5,000. And we needed one. And we're going to get a car. Joyce thinking, we're getting out of North Carolina. And so it was get out of town money. And I'm praying one night, and the Lord impressed on my heart to give half of the money, $2,500, to a missionary couple in Zimbabwe. We knew them. Zimbabwe was going through a crisis. We knew they needed it. We knew this couple. And the Lord impressed, and I'm like, get thee behind me, Satan. That is the devil. That is the devil. So I put it aside. I'm not listening to that. And the next night, everybody's in bed. I'm praying again, and man, it keeps coming up. That's one of the ways to tell that is that me or the Lord. A lot of times, one, if it's really generous, it's usually not you. And two, it's if it keeps coming up in you, the Bible said there's many plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that will stand. So what keeps standing? And so finally I realized, Lord, you're telling me to give $2,500 away. So I did what any smart, godly husband will do. I said, well, that's you. Tell Joy. Tell my wife. So I gave her a heads up. I said, you know, the Lord's impressing me that we need to give an offering to the Broom family, the missionaries in Zimbabwe. And Joy said, how much? I said, I'm not telling you. You ask the Lord. She comes back to me a couple of days later. She said, half of it. I went, oh, it is you. You know, that was hard on us. It was hard. But we were already, we had fished all night and caught nothing. We already had nothing. We might as well just go ahead and obey God. And I remember when we did, and I put that check in the mailbox, I had the greatest joy come over me. But then all heaven busted loose. And another piece of property sold for Joy's mom. Now she gives us $12,000. We got room to move. We come back. I get a job at that time, Ministap. They're in Sparity now. I get a job with them. God explodes my sales. And in less than a year, we were in the best financial position we have ever been in our entire life. I am telling you, God will bless you if you will follow Him, if you'll serve Him, if you'll obey Him. But there's something beyond blessings. There's something beyond the material. Here's the second point. The joy of a relationship with Him. The joy of a relationship. Joy's father left her her birth father left her when she was 6 weeks old. She never really knew him that much. He would every now and then show up. For her graduation, he had to ask someone, where's my daughter? And for her graduation, he gave Joy a Cartier watch. And when Joy got it, she's like, her mother's like, that's a Cartier watch. And Joy said, he doesn't even know who I am. Listen, without relationship, blessings don't mean near as much. But here's the beautiful thing is, the joy of knowing that you're loved, that's huge. Revelation. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has set us free from our sins by His blood. To Him who loves us. Listen, people think, I just don't know if God loves me. I don't know if Jesus. He died for you. He died for you. Not to prove anything, but to set you free and to make you a new creation and to put heaven's blessings at your disposal to put heaven's goodness in your life. And you wonder if He loves you. The challenge is he can't hug us. We don't feel. Listen, this is where we go beyond feelings and we believe, Lord, thank you that you love me. In fact, you love me like nobody else loves me. And realizing how much I'm loved by you, that you love me like nobody else, that's a blessing. And so if He loves me that much, He's not going to reject me. Some people think, maybe not anyone in here, but some people think, you know, I know God loves Alan. I know He loves Joy and Justin and Mary. I know He loves all those people. He loves those staff people. But me, I'm just, no. He loves you just as much as He loves me. He wants a relationship with you just as much as He wants a relationship with me. And you can have a relationship with Him when you recognize how much He loves you. And then when you realize it's a relationship you can grow with. The scriptures say we can grow in the knowledge of God. We can grow in the knowledge of the creator of the universe and his son who died for us. Man, that's amazing. We can grow in that. And the more you come to know him, the more like him you become. You're like, whoa, Alan, you know, I'm all for that. I don't want to be like Jesus. I don't want to wear a long robe and sandals. That's not what we're talking about. The more you know him, the more like him you become in your character, in your strength, in your stability, in your peace, in your joy, in something on the inside that makes you different from other people. Not weird, just different. Yeah. And boy, the world is looking for something that's different. You say, well, okay, if I'm going to have a relationship with the Lord, where do I start? Here. You start listening to his voice to you in his word. And for those of you maybe who've been reading your Bible for a while, let me challenge you to do this. You can do this if you just started. Look for the love. Look for the relationship in it. Let me give you an example. Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters. And in verse 34, it said, who is to condemn? In other words, who's going to condemn us? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. You know, Jesus is still serving us. He is interceding on our behalf. He's on the right hand of God. He's interceding. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, for years, guys, I've known that last verse. We are more than conquerors. We have sung, we are more than conquerors in Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror because somebody loved me. More than a conqueror through him who loved us. So when you begin to read the scriptures, don't just look for the blessings, look for the love. Look for the relationship. Look for what he's done for you and how much he loves you. And when you find something that says, ooh, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me, and your mind goes, tilt, you just close your Bible and go, shut up. I believe this. Thank you, Lord, you love me. I am the one you love, and you're on safe ground. Listen to his voice in the word. Listen to his voice in prayer. Talk to him. He'll give you ideas. Thoughts will come. You know, typically, you don't get the flaming scroll or an angel, but you'll have an idea, an impression, a scripture will come. He will communicate with you. That's how relationship works. It's not one-sided. It's a relationship. And he'll communicate with you. And here's what happens. When you begin to have more of a relationship with Jesus, it will change you. Good relationships change us. I was riding with Joy the other day, and we got in behind someone who was slow. And you know how that blesses me. I looked over at my darling, godly wife, and she's doing this. Come on, come on, come on. She's talking to the car in front of us. I looked at her and went, really? She went, I never did this until I met you. Good relationships change you. They will change you. But if they'll change you that way, how much knowing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the ones that love, that will change you. And what happens is then the motivation is not what we can get, not just the blessings we can receive, but Lord, I receive your blessings, and Jesus becomes more than just a means to an end. And Jesus becomes someone I have a relationship with. And then I begin to bless others. Jesus, help my marriage. Okay, when he does, now I can help others. Jesus, help my family. Good, and when he does, then I can help others. We don't hoard blessings, we give blessings. The power of knowing in a relationship, what a difference it makes. There's the story that circulated for years. I really believe it has such an element of truth, but years and years ago, before they had movies and entertainment like that, oftentimes they would have actors and they did plays, but often these actors would come and they would give these great oratory addresses. They would memorize passages and they would read poetry, and they were great speakers. And in a large theater one night, this well-known actor was speaking, and they called him back for a couple of encores. And when they called him back for the third encore, someone called out, "Can you recite the 23rd Psalm?" And he thought for a moment. He said, I know that song. He said, "I will." He said, "Provided." He said, "I have a family friend here down who's been a friend of the family for years. And it was an older gentleman." He pointed to it. I said, "If he'll recite it after I do it, I will." And the old man looked at him and nodded his head. And this great actor stood up and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And his voice echoed all over the room and it sounded amazing. And people hung on every word. And when he finished, there was a thunderous applause. And then the old man shuffled to the stage, looked a little frightened when he saw the crowd. Then he just bowed his head. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And he began to talk about how when they went through hard times on the farm, how the Lord helped him. He said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He took care of us. He leads me beside how he's restored my soul when I went through such a difficult time with my wife, and he restored my soul." And he began to talk. And as he began, he went through the whole psalm, but it wasn't just confessing words on the psalm. He was speaking about that relationship he had. And when he finished, there was no clapping. There was a lot of tears, a lot of sniffling. And the actor stood up and he's wiping his eyes. And he said, "I wanted you to hear that." He said, "I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. That's where the value is. Not just the blessings, but the blesser. We know him." Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, no one leaving. We'll be out of here. And if you'll leave, just give me a couple minutes afterwards. I've got something I need to share with you. But if you're here right now and you're thinking, "Alan, I don't know if I've ever received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure." Or maybe you're like I was. You've gotten away from the Lord. Had been truly born again, but you've walked away from God. You know it. He knows it, but you're here. And you know on the inside of you, I don't want to live apart from him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front, but I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, "Alan, I want to be sure," or "I want to come back, would you pray for me?" Shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, "Alan, that's me." Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. If you're online, I can't see you. But you can pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. If you're online and you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Here, we're going to pray it together as a church family. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you." Now, with head still bowed and eyes closed, Father, thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for loving us enough to send Jesus. For the ones who've received him for the first time, stepped out of spiritual darkness into the light. For the ones who've come back home, we rejoice with them. New creations in Christ, what a wonderful thing. Thank you for your love. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you that we are the ones that you love and that we're the ones who could have a wonderful relationship with you. It's up to us. And we choose yes. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.